Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness. Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 415. I'm Amy Matheny here in Chicago, and what a week to think all things British, all things queenly. We do that every week. All things motherly, and I just need a spot of tea if we're thinking of all of those things, mums and queens and Britain. It has been a very exciting time with the royal wedding going off with really such a plume and grandiosity and elegance and timelessness. The wedding of Kate Middleton and Prince William, now the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, in his regal reds and she in her evocative Grace Kelly gown. What a beautiful, beautiful day indeed. And I don't know how many of you got up Friday morning early to watch the wedding, but I did, and it felt like the right thing to do, to set the alarm clock, get up, watch for a couple hours, and go back to sleep, which is exactly what I did. So there were many things that were held at bay about the wedding, what people were going to look like, what the wedding dress was going to be, who was going to be in attendance, and the parties and the way Britain came out to celebrate that wedding was quite extraordinary. There was something like over 5,000 street parties, an extra long weekend for the entire country. Fans seemed to really love and adore this day and believe in it. And many of us possibly remember 30 years ago and believed in that wedding. And yet when we look at the facts, this one is based on so many good foundational bricks, if one might say. Kate and William have had a long love affair. I've dated for a long time, the first royal couple prior to marriage to live together. She is a commoner. He is a royal, the first time that has happened. And I really thought that the most evocative moment of the entire wedding day was Prince William, now the Duke of Cambridge, driving himself and his bride through the streets of London in the Aston Martin with balloons hanging off the back and just wed on their license plate. And it felt like they were any other couple that has millions of people watching and lining the streets waving to you. But it was a very human moment, a very real moment. And I think it very much harkens to a new day with the monarchy and this relationship, and the popularity of Kate Middleton has done so much for the monarchy. She is beloved in in England. She is beloved in Great Britain. She is beloved around the world. So a fairy tale experience that also I think people could relate to, if that's even possible to say that we can relate. This is almost a royal couple that we can relate to. So congratulations, William, Wills and Kate. And a lovely, lovely dress by Alexander McQueen. Now, of course, speaking of queens, the lovely Elton John was there with his husband, David Furnish. And Posh Spice was there, of course, Victoria Beckham and David Beckham. And the hats were aplenty. There were just a plethora of things to look at. It was a cacophony for the eyes. Poor men, they really just don't get to be razzle-dazzle in that environment with all the ladies in their dresses and their fantastic hats. But I thought what was so wonderful was the choice to have many of the men in the wedding party, especially William and his little groom's boys, little ring bearers or whatever they would be called, little attendants in the bright red jackets. It was really quite full of pomp and their own little moment of flavor and flair to stand out in what was really a feast for the eyes. So I hope all of you had a great time watching, and by now you've definitely seen the coverage. I also want to send out some thoughts and prayers. Last week, of course, many storms roared through the South, and great storms roared through my hometown of Cleveland, Tennessee, where I was born and raised and where much of my family still lives. And I'm happy to say that my family and the loved ones that I've connected with, everyone is safe and sound. But a lot of devastation outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, as reported by all the news channels and across the state of Alabama. So our hearts and prayers go out for the folks of the South dealing with that storm, and there will be much repair for many, many weeks to come, and people rebuilding their lives. So just a lot of gratitude for safety and thoughts with the people who did lose their lives, because over 300 people were killed in those storms in the South at the end of last week. But on to our show today. I am so excited because I have been trying to get this story told on the Queercast for a while now. It is the story, it is the American dream, and it's an American story, and it is the story of a couple and one man in particular and his partner who has fostered and supported and helped shape his dream into a business that is called Talbot Tees. And this is a significant story because it's a homegrown Chicago story, and it's also a story from our community of two gay men really having an idea, following their passion, and that paying off enormous dividends with big exposure and a really successful American entrepreneurial story and spirit. So I'm very happy to have Shane Talbot of Talbot Tees with me today. It's awfully lovely to be able to have a spot of tea, talk with him about tea the same week as the royal wedding. And also as we lead into Mother's Day, because Talbot Tees is a wonderful gift for your mom. And my mother loves tea, and I have my brother has given my mother Talbot Tees in the past, which is how I was able to taste and sample the teas for the first time. And so I want to say a warm happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and a warm thought of gratitude to mothers who are no longer with us. So it's a big, big show. Weddings, Britain, mothers, tea. Oh, goodness. So let's go talk about the GLBT news and what's going on in the theater scene. And I'll be back with Shane Talbot from Talbot Tees.
You want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning June 2nd. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a three-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to two social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. LGBTQ individuals and allied activists walked in the Fifth Avenue Easter Parade in New York City on April 24th in memory of Americans whose lives have been lost as a result of prejudice and hate against those because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. They walked through tens of thousands of people from 44th to 57th Streets on Fifth Avenue, carrying large signs showing faces of some of those killed or driven to suicide due to hate against them, and led by a large banner that read, "Protect the sanctity of our lives. Full civil rights now."
Former New Jersey Governor Jim McCreevy's bid to become a priest has been rejected. He tried to join the priesthood, but the Episcopal Church said no. It was not his sexual orientation that barred him. Rather, church officials were bothered by the bitterness of McCreevy's divorce. McCreevy, age 53, lives in Plainfield, New Jersey, with his partner, real estate executive Mark O'Donnell.
In Washington, D.C., a cab driver booted a gay couple out of his taxi for kissing. Ari Fredge, 45, and partner Christopher Holloway, 51, said that when they shared a quick peck on the cheek, the driver immediately slammed on his brakes, shouting, "My cab is not a bed. You cannot have sex in my cab." The cabbie then allegedly kicked the couple out of his vehicle and, unsuccessfully, attempted to make them pay $6.35 for a four-block ride.
Gordon Fox, the openly gay speaker of the Rhode Island House, said that a marriage equality bill will not pass in 2011. Fox placed blame with the state Senate, who supports civil unions but not same-sex marriage.
In New York, state officials have granted conjugal visits to gay inmates who are married or in civil unions. Inmates may also be more likely to be allowed out of prison to visit a terminally ill loved one. Governor David Patterson ordered state agencies to recognize same-sex marriages.
In Florida, a male student was removed from class at Tampa Bay's Riverview High School for wearing high heels. A friend said that the unidentified student felt shame for being called out at class. A teacher contacted the principal's office saying that the boy's shoes were disruptive.
In Tennessee, the so-called Don't Say Gay bill has advanced to the state's Senate Education Committee. The measure would prohibit elementary and middle school educators from mentioning homosexuality to students.
Approximately 300 people gathered in Maryland for a vigil held in response to the beating transgender victim Chrissy Lee Polis suffered in a Baltimore McDonald's. In the graphic video filmed on April 18th, two women attacked Polis while one patron and an employee attempted to intervene while others laughed. One assailant faces first and second degree assault charges. A younger accomplice has been charged as a juvenile.
In Texas, Dallas County approved non-discrimination protections for transgendered employees. The order adds transgender, gender identity, and gender expression to the county's current laws against workplace discrimination, which bans discrimination on the basis of religion, color, race, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, and political affiliation.
Minnesota Republicans have introduced three measures that would offer voters a constitutional amendment prohibiting same-sex marriage in 2012. Democrats have criticized the development, saying that the bill distracts from Minnesota's economic crisis and a state budget the GOP has not yet passed. State law already bans same-sex marriage.
The Tennessee House has okayed a measure that would repeal Nashville's new gay protections ordinance. The governing body of the city of Nashville and Davidson County, which merged in 1963, narrowly approved a plan to extend the city's gay protections to contractors. The 2009 law bars employment discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
Katie Miller, a former U.S. Military Academy student at West Point, transferred to Yale University in reaction to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. She has been denied readmission to West Point. Miller, a lesbian, reapplied to the academy after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed in December of 2010. However, since the repeal has not yet been put into effect, West Point officials said they had to reject her.
The United States Department of Labor has added gender identity and pregnancy to its policy, ensuring equal protections for all employees and applicants on the basis of such classifications as race, color, religion, national origin, age, disability, genetic information, parental status, and sexual orientation.
Washington, D.C.'s LGBT Health Center, once known as the Whitman Walker Clinic, will alter its name to Whitman Walker Health. The health center is named for gay writer Walt Whitman, who was a health worker during the Civil War, and 19th century feminist doctor Mary Edwards Walker.
In New Mexico, the school board in Clovis has voted to ban all extracurricular clubs from meeting during school hours after a gay-straight alliance applied to become a club. School officials said that the alliance's application and the board's review of school policies were coincidental.
Chris Colfer, at age 20, who plays the openly gay student Kurt on the TV show Glee, has been named one of Time Magazine's most 100 influential people in the world for 2011. Out gay fashion designer, film director Tom Ford also made the list, as well as Oprah Winfrey, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, Justin Bieber, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords, Prince William, Kate Middleton, and others.
In world news, for the first time ever in Moscow, officials have authorized a large-scale gay pride rally, which will take place in Bolotnaya Square. Moscow Gay Pride Parade, Homosexuality in the History of World Culture and Civilization, will take place on May 28th. Former Mayor Yuri Lushkov banned such parades, but current Mayor Sergei Sobyanin has authorized the rally, although officials have asked that the event have no more than 500 participants.
Japan has elected its first openly gay official. Taja Ishikawa, age 36, won a seat in the Toshima Ward Assembly, the governing body for that area. Ishikawa has promised to help Japan's LGBT population.
In South Africa, Noxolo Nongwaza, a 24-year-old lesbian, was found dead in an alley in the KwaThema Township on Easter Sunday after being reportedly raped and murdered. Nongwaza was a member of a key LGBTI organization in KwaThema.
In Uganda, the death penalty provision is likely to be dropped from the country's anti-gay bill, although the measure may come up for a vote before the governmental body session ends on May 12th.
In entertainment news, lesbian MSNBC anchor Rachel Maddow said that it's time for other gay television anchors to come out of the closet. She told The Guardian, "I'm sure other people in the business have considered reasons why they're doing what they're doing, but I do think that if you're gay and you have a responsibility to come out." She denied rumors that she was referring to CNN anchor Anderson Cooper.
Glee star Matthew Morrison has confirmed that there will be a death on an upcoming episode of the show. Morrison said, "Somebody's dying. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's no one that you will probably expect." He also teased that his character Will and guidance counselor Emma will get a little closer and said that Kristen Chenoweth will return to the series.
The daughter of late actor Cary Grant said that her father was not gay, but that he liked the speculation because it made women desire him more. Jennifer Grant, the daughter of Cary and actress Diane Cannon, writes in her book, Good Stuff, A Reminiscence of My Father, "Dad somewhat enjoyed being called gay. He said it made women want to prove the assertion wrong," adding that he might have even mildly flirted back with other men.
Rosie O'Donnell said now she will not be staying at the Trump Hotel when she moves to Chicago and is looking at real estate options. The potential presidential candidate, Donald Trump, has said that he is against same-sex marriage.
The legal scuffle between openly gay Desperate Housewives creator Mark Cherry and former star of the show Nicolette Sheridan has taken a new twist. Sheridan has filed a lawsuit against Cherry and ABC, claiming he physically assaulted her and then fired her after she complained about it. However, producer Lori Kirkland Baker, who worked on the show during the years 2007 through 2009, has corroborated Sheridan's side of the story. A key hearing is slated for May 3rd.
Oprah Winfrey will have a star-studded television special as she ends her talk show with a star-studded special from Chicago's United Center on May 17th to air on May 23rd and 24th. Surprise Oprah, a farewell spectacular, will bring together some of the biggest names in entertainment for a one-time-only gathering to celebrate the 25-year legacy of the show. Her final show will air on May 25th.
Suvir Saran, one of the gay competitors on the current season of Top Chef Masters, was told to leave the show. Saran, an Indian chef who is a practicing vegetarian, lectured diners, including gay judge James Osaland, on how red meat was responsible for obesity.
Lesbian actress Jane Lynch, Sue Sylvester on TV's Glee, will join out actor Sean Hayes in the film The Three Stooges. Peter and Bobby Farrelly will direct the film. Lynch will play Mother Superior, who runs the orphanage where Mo, Larry, and Curly are raised.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative. Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 2nd, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Dixie Longate left her children in an Alabama trailer park and headed to Off-Broadway. Now, join Dixie's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago, filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today Show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, extended through June 12th at the Royal George Theater.
About Face Theater presents Pony now through May 22nd at the Chopin Theater. Pony's the new guy in town, and his mysterious air attracts the attention of a waitress named Marie and a young trans man named Heath. Pony wades through a world of violence, shifting gender roles, and reveals more about himself than he ever intended. For tickets to Pony, visit aboutfacetheater.com.
American Blues Theater presents Rantoul and Die. From the creator of Mike and Molly and the writer on The Big Bang Theory and Two and a Half Men comes a new play with four of the funniest, skankiest, and most heartbreakingly real characters ever. The Hollywood Reporter calls Rantoul and Die original and devastatingly funny. For tickets and more, visit AmericanBluesTheater.com.
Rising Stars takes the Joffrey Ballet to new heights with premieres from some of the hottest stars in dance. Three boundary-pushing choreographers explore the secret lives we live in our dreams with Edward Lang's Woven Dreams, Yuri Posokov's Bells, and Julia Adams' Night. Visit us online at joffrey.org. Don't miss the Joffrey in Rising Stars at the Auditorium Theater May 4th through 15th.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Oh, honey, picture me upon your knee with tea for two and two for tea. Just me for you and you for me alone.
Shane Talbot and his partner Steve Nakashir had a little idea that has grown big, like Oprah Favorite Things Big. It's a hometown Chicago story made good from two members of our community, and Talbot Teas is now known around the world. And I'm so excited to have Shane on the show today to just kind of talk to us about what was the genesis for this amazing tea company and how Talbot Teas has progressed and where it is going, because it's a really fascinating story that is from people in our community right here in Chicago. Hey, Shane, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
And thanks for being on.
My pleasure. It's great. Great to be here with you.
Tell me, where are you from?
Originally, right outside of Omaha, Nebraska.
So you are a Midwest boy, I guess.
Oh, yes. Always Midwest. And I knew that Chicago was going to be relatively close to home, so I could still see family. And It's been home for almost 20 years now.
Wow. So now I've heard that you've been quoted as saying, like, your whole life, like your whole raison d'etre is beauty. And that makes me go, first of all, are you a Libra? So we can get our signs out of the way. Because I know I'm a Libra.
Ironically, I'm a Virgo, actually.
Well, that's right there, right? I was going to say, if you're not, then you're a Virgo, because I'm a Libra, and I'm always told that it's all about creating beauty and comfort when you're in those two signs. So that's
right.
That's amazing. So what is it that you have been chasing about beauty your whole life?
Well, you know, it's always something that's been of such an interest, and I've always been fascinated by, you know, the fashion and beauty world. And I got such great advice when I was really young from somebody that I looked up to that said, you know what, once you figured out what you love to do and what gets you excited, figure out a way to make a living at it and get paid for it. So that's what I did. I went into the spa industry.
Yeah, and that when you were here, when you landed here in Chicago, back in the early 90s, I mean, you evolved into becoming one of the premier colorists in the U.S. How does that happen?
I really had personal goals that I said to myself, you know, I really don't settle for, you know, second best. And I said, if I'm going to move to Chicago, I really want to be, you know, where the best is happening, right downtown. I knew that Oak Street in Chicago was where, you know, the best is happening with fashion, beauty, salon and spa world. So that's right where I headed. I did not waste any time. I went straight for, you know, being a part of the top of the crowd.
And tell everybody your salon, your first salon, or the salon that you had here in Chicago.
The salon was on Oak Street, right downtown, and it was Troop Salon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the inspiration for Troop was that, you know, sort of thinking along the lines of a dance troupe, a theater troupe, and we were like a beauty troupe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're there, you're in your milieu, you know, you have arrived. You wanted to be, mm-hmm. you were the Nebraska boy with the dream of being on Oak Street, where there's, at that time, it would have been Barney's, right? And still
right.
Prada, and now Hermes. I mean, it's the Rodeo Drive, for those of you listening who don't live in Chicago.
Absolutely.
It is the creme de la creme. So you've arrived. And then you really started working on how you had your philosophy seep into everything you did with your client. Is that where the tea idea came?
Well, that's where it started. And once I had the chance to have my own place, which, as you said, is sandwiched right there between Barney's, Hermes, and all these wonderful shops, I had a vision that I realized, you know, this really is about sharing your passions and what means the most to you. And I realized that, you know, tea is something that I've always been passionate about. I've been a big tea drinker always. And I realized, you know what, here's my opportunity to share yet another passion with, you know, a big crowd who is always coming to the salon and somebody different on a daily basis. And that's where the inspiration was, to combine those two.
Now, where was your love of tea? Where did that start? Was that just, you're not a coffee drinker, you're a tea drinker, or you just love the aspect of making teas, or what was it about tea? Because in the world, tea is more consumed, right, than coffee. We don't even think about that in this Starbucks generation.
We don't even think about that. You're right. And it's really, I think we're sort of under the impression here in the U.S. that because we're such a Starbucks culture that we think the coffee is the number one, and it's not.
Right.
In the world, tea is consumed more than coffee. So I have to say that for me personally, it was growing up, you know, maybe starting around the age 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there, And my dear sweet grandmother would always sit and have afternoon tea with me. So it really started as a little kid where I had this wonderful grandmother where that was our afternoon thing to do. And we would, of course, sit and tell great stories and have a great time. And I just grew up with it.
Yeah. So see, I grew up with tea, but it was very different. It was not coming. It was not that nicely put together. It was growing up in the South. We had sweet tea. You know, we had I mean, rarely coffee was like a thing you had. I don't know. It was a serviceable drink.
Right.
Like people had it first thing in the morning to wake up. But, you know, we had tea all day long. So
absolutely.
And yeah,
and I think it was also that part of my grandmother and I had a great relationship, and I think it was something that we could share versus, of course, you don't want to, you know, let two young kids start to drink coffee too early.
Sure.
They certainly don't need the caffeine, and tea has half of the caffeine that a normal cup of coffee does. So it was something that we could share while I was, that young.
Now, as Talbot Teas, formed and continued, did your grandmother live to see the success that you're having, or even just the idea and the inspiration that she planted the seed for?
Absolutely. She is so happy and loves seeing what we're doing now with Talbot Teas. She still lives there right outside of Omaha, Nebraska, and she loves seeing that we're doing new stuff. She, of course, was so happy to see us on QVC. And I think she's very proud. I think she loved it.
So tell me, because these two worlds are very, they're essential in one aspect of your story, which is how did your paths cross with Oprah Winfrey? Because that relationship definitely gave you an opportunity to lend your hand to growing this business. And so how did that happen?
You're right. It did. It created an incredible opportunity that I couldn't have made up the way that it happened. It just was so, it was worlds coming together, and I couldn't have even dreamed of having it happen that way.
Because at this point, it's kind of a side thing you're doing. Your focus is your salon, Oak Street Salon.
Right.
And where does the big O happen?
Well, as we know, Chicago is a big city, but it's a small town at the same time. Mm-hmm. So you live here long enough and you really get to know a group of people. And of course, in the beauty world, the salon and spa world, you know, it's not a big group of us and we get to know each other.
Right.
So I found out through a good friend that Oprah was going to open up a spa inside of her studio, and it was going to be this wonderful perk to the employees. As a way to, you know, of course they all need their salon needs met, but, if she could provide any help, she was going to do that. And I, of course, raced right over there, said I would love to be a part of this. And I was one of the first people to be a part of it. I'm going to say a little more than 10 years ago now.
Okay.
So I was part of the spa when that first started, coming together.
Because those people work hard. We're seeing that now for those of you who are watching the behind the scenes. Like, they don't go home. They don't go home. And they have to be doing the work for when she arrives. So they do not go home. They need everything within that Harpo world.
And every now and then, you just need some of those essentials met, like a good haircut and a good trip to the salon. And bless her for doing something that was such a wonderful perk to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, being there by proximity, I had the wonderful opportunity to meet with Oprah herself.
Mm-hmm.
It was over some time, and we had the chance to get to know each other a little bit more. And I just was able to share that my passion for tea was a big part of what I'm also doing. And, I had the wonderful opportunity to present some of my teas to her.
Mm.
And I was so, blown away and so incredibly, heartfelt touched that she loved the teas. She really said, you know, these are wonderful teas. She was a tea drinker herself every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the chance to create a couple of special blends just for her that are a part of her Oprah retail store.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you even remember what were the blends? Because I want you to describe some of your signature blends just so people will get an idea that you know, they're not your basic blends.
Right.
You really go the extra measure. Do you remember which were the first blends that you presented
Absolutely.
To her?
Absolutely. And a couple of them are still a part of our main collection now. So one of them is our Luscious Lemon Meringue.
I love it.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's really, it's lemon without what you would typically think of as being citrusy or really tart.
Yep.
It's lemon that is a little bit smoother, and that's why I called it the Luscious Lemon Meringue, because it's a little more decadent.
Yep.
It's really got like a natural sweetness to it.
It's hard to get the lemon tea, because there's times when you want the lemon tea, but you
right.
still kind of get the pledge factor, you know?
Right.
And yours does not have that.
And what happens, the reason mm-hmm. that happens is a lot of those tea companies just use the artificial flavoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. It gets that complete pledge factor.
Yep.
I work with only best ingredients, and when I blend to get some kind of flavor like that for the lemon meringue, we're using actual lemon peel,
mm-hmm.
We're using real fruit, the real deal, so
yep.
it's going to be the best flavor.
Yep, and so she loved that. Do you remember another, is there something that she really likes in a tea?
You know, she is a big lover of an Earl Grey. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to create an Earl Grey that also combined another one of her favorites, which is a rooibos tea,
mm-hmm.
The red bush tea, which is a naturally caffeine-free. So I created a special blend that used that rooibos as a base, and then we did the traditional Earl Grey as a part of that blend, and that became one of her favorites.
Which is interesting, because most people who drink rooibos, I'm saying that wrong, rooibos.
There you go. That's it.
There it is. Are people who like decaffeinated teas. So it's interesting, because
right.
Earl Grey is obviously known as kind of a wake me up or have
Absolutely.
With cream, kind of the coffee substitute. So,
and that's what made this unique, was to create an Earl Grey that didn't have that, pack that caffeine punch
mm-hmm.
and still had that wonderful flavor for all those diehard Earl Grey drinkers out there.
Yeah. So Oprah's now put it, you know, you've made a couple of varieties. She loves it. Talk to me about what some of your, let's go to favorite things first, because obviously there are people over many, many years now, over a decade, who are business owners. Sometimes they're corporations, but sometimes they're smaller
mm-hmm.
business owners who get
right.
the call, which is that the staff
right.
at Harpo and that Oprah Winfrey want to make something at your business or something that you produce a favorite thing. And that is a
right.
game changer in every way. You can just imagine, you know, because we all now know the magnitude of what she has mentioned on her show over the years. It's the best buzz you can get. So how did you get that call? And then how did you prepare for that show?
Right. Prepare, definitely. So we had those special blends of teas as a part of her retail store for a
mm-hmm.
couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really just something that became part of what she was doing with her store. And we had just been doing business as usual. And I knew that this was going to be the last season. So I just had my fingers crossed, and I just thought, well, you know, this is the last show, and it's the last opportunity to submit for the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a long shot. I thought there's nothing to lose, so we may as well submit a couple of our other tea blends that she had maybe not been familiar with.
Now, had you submitted before?
We had submitted in the past before being a part of the retail store.
Okay. Now, at this point, have you closed your salon? At this point, are you all tea, or are you... Where is that in terms of what you're doing by day, and how I haven't even pulled in Steve into this conversation, but
right.
know, where was there a moment? Was there a moment before Favorite Things that you went, we're really going to go big and go all in with this business? Or was it Favorite Things that made that decision for you?
It was starting to happen before Favorite Things, for sure, because we were having some great success with her retail store. We were getting some good response. And that was the time that I was transitioning from the spa world into more tea.
And you had placed your teas in some hotels, and it was in other places besides Oprah's store and your salon at this point.
Exactly. So by then, we had already been working with the Four Seasons in New York and working with some other great boutique hotels. So, yes, things were growing in the tea business, and it was becoming apparent that this was going to perhaps start to take over and become my next chapter.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I just wanted to make sure because I, you know, the listener might not know, is he doing hair and doing tea and doing all this simultaneously? And this was the game changer, but you were kind of wanting this to happen. So you've submitted for this final season favorite things. And then what happened with the call?
Yeah, it really was one of those. The submission had been maybe months prior. So we, again, were just doing business as usual, and it was just another day. And we get a phone call, and the producer from the show says, you know, hi, Shane, this is so-and-so, and I was familiar with her. So it really wasn't, you know, such an odd thing that she would call. Mm-hmm. So she calls and says, well, I just want to start by saying, I hope you're sitting down, that we would like to let you know that Miss Winfrey has chosen Talbot Teas as a favorite thing. And I have to say, it really was a good thing I was sitting down because you could have just knocked me over. It just was such a shock.
Yeah. A good thing you weren't working on somebody's hair at that moment.
Absolutely. It was a good thing that I was at my desk sitting in my office because you could have just knocked me down.
And how long did it take you to tell your business partner and your life partner and your husband, Steve, about that call?
Yeah, we were both in the office that day, so he knew right away, and we just, both of us, our mouths were wide open in shock. We didn't know what to say next, but, you know, obviously we were so happy, and it was such a great surprise.
Do they give you like a, okay, now this is what's going to happen to your life and this is what you need to prepare for? Or are you just left to, I mean, obviously I know that Harpo, you know, understands the magnitude of what that means for you, and especially as a small business. So what advice did you get before, and how much time was there from that phone call until that episode aired?
Right. So we had about 2 months to get ready, which is not a huge amount of time when you've got a lot of inventory to get ready.
Yep.
And yes, at this stage of the game, you know, the Oprah show's been going for 25 years. They really have a sense of what you can expect afterwards.
Yep.
So they did. They gave us a wonderful sort of pep talk and said, you know, you're going to really want to take care of your website. You're going to want to make sure you've got as much inventory as you possibly can and get a few systems in place and really get ready.
Yeah. Hold on to your hat. So did you
hold
have
on.
Yeah. Did you have many staff members, or did you have to call out the troops to come help you?
We really called out the troops for sure. We really had a pretty lean staff. There was a group of about five of us at the time, between people who would process orders and do inventory and things like that. And to get ready for this, we hired, we had, I would say, about 12 people as a part of the team in order to get ready for that.
So you doubled.
So we more than doubled our staff in order to get ready.
Yeah. And looking back on it, what was that actual day like? Can you just kind of tell us the day that the show aired and what that felt like?
Yeah, it was definitely a nail biter. We were on the edge. Interestingly, the schedule of the way the show airs across the country and across the world is that Chicago airs early in the morning, and then the rest of the country gets it later in the day, and then it goes on from there around the world. Mm-hmm. So starting in the morning, it was kind of easy. We had some good orders. It was a good response. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it was all hell broke loose.
Wow.
We were, I equate it to, there was a great commercial once where the guy is processing an order, and I think it's for UPS, and all of a sudden his mailbox just goes berserk, and like smoke starts to come out of the computer. And that's how we felt. I mean, we felt like it just broke loose.
Well.
Thousands of orders within an hour. There were just like thousands of orders.
And were you prepared? Did you have enough inventory? And how did all of that go through with your team of 12?
I have to say we did a pretty good job. There were a couple of things that we started to sell out, but fortunately, they were supplies that we could readily get within a couple of days, and we didn't have to deal too much with being sold out or too many back orders. It was a scramble, I will say that, but we definitely did a pretty good job keeping up.
So what is the impact? Because you're doing this and you're seeing your dream and this thing that you love, and you have this man in your life, you know, who has signed on to be your other half through good times and bad. And, but many of us listening can imagine if we were in those intense situations with our partner all the time. I mean, that is an unusual situation. Many people are with their partner outside of the workplace. How has that been on dividing the roles that you serve for the business, and how do you tend your relationship? And obviously knowing that you're under the watchful eye of, you're an out couple, you know, entrepreneurial out couple that is not the, you know, it's rare.
No, it's true. And fortunately, by the time this all came along, Stephen and I had been together for at least 12 years. So, of course, we've already navigated a lot of those bumpy roads. And both of us are entrepreneurs, and we both understand how each other operates and how we tick. And fortunately, we're a pretty good team working together. It definitely got stressful when things got as busy as they did. And we had to kind of renegotiate a little bit of the structure of who does what and what our roles were. And it definitely blurred the line between business and personal. It was getting us so busy that we were working around the clock, and it was, we were so happy to, but at the same time, it completely blurred that line between personal and business. And it was tricky for a while, but I think now that things have settled a little bit, we're back to where we're much more familiar with.
Now, I know I met Steve before I met you, and we had the good fortune of meeting each other among friends and through friends, being introduced through friends, which is how I was able to say, hey, let's tell your story on the podcast. And Talbot Teas showed up at the wonderful Wonka Ball that we had and served tea at our royal wedding. And I think a lot of people are talking about all things British now with the royal wedding and England kind of on everybody's sight. But at the time, Stephen said to me, he said, you know, Shane is this amazing creative energy. And I just love being kind of, he's the engine, and I just like being kind of the wheel behind the business side of it. And I thought, you know, that's such a beautiful metaphor that, you know, you found somebody who really wants to support and see and work to have your vision soar, and it has become a collective vision for the two of you. And I think those are stories that need to be told in our community. You know, that kind of relationship, when people are talking about gay marriage and, you know, what are these relationships, that's an enduring love that you both have, that someone would allow someone to foster their dream and that someone would foster someone else's dream. And I think that's just my little Oprah moment where I wrap that little
No, I completely agree with you. I think we don't hear such stories like that enough. And I'm so happy to be able to do it with you today.
So after Favorite Things, you got this wonderful opportunity to be a part of QVC, which you kind of had a trial run, it seems, with the Favorite Things. How did that go in April, your appearance on QVC, and how did you feel about that as a part of this Talbot Teas journey?
Yeah, that was another wonderful kind of surprise that came up. But again, I probably couldn't have, you know, painted a better picture myself.
And you had to go on TV then. You didn't go on TV with the favorite
things.
Changed.
That changed the game. Yes.
Yeah.
That I had to prepare for, because obviously when it was something like Favorite Things, you're behind the scenes and you really just kind of need to be one of Santa's elves and get to work.
Yep.
Yeah, the QVC was a little more nerve-wracking for me, because it was that, you know, here's literally your 15 minutes of fame.
Yep.
And fortunately, QVC does a great job of preparing you. They even have, you know, QVC university class that you get to go to, and you get to try it out first.
Mm-hmm.
So you get some rehearsals and some practice runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it went so well, and I was so happy with it.
Yeah. It was a big, big success. And do you see yourself doing another appearance like that for QVC?
I would love to. I think that first time was really nerve wracking, and I think I may have even completely personally blacked out and not been aware of anything I actually said. But when it was all said and done, it was such a fun, great experience. I would love to do it again.
So what's next? I mean, you are this visionary. You are the kid from Omaha who went, I want to have a place of beauty and luxury on that street in that big city that's, you know, right up the way from my town. You're the guy who has that pedigree and walks up to probably the most powerful woman in the world, or her business, and says, I want to be a part of you. I have something to add. You know, there you are providing those services within Harpo. You have this vision for teas, and that is happening now on a global level. What is next? Is it just more? Is it just getting the Talbot Teas name out there and in more businesses? Do you want it in stores? Do you want it in, at shelf retail purchasing? Or what is the vision for the company?
Right. Yeah, right now, the big goal is just getting our name and product out there, because it really has not been a very long time since the Favorite Things actually happened. It's been less than 6 months.
Right.
And a lot can happen in 6 months, which it has. We're so happy to be working with the Intercontinental in Chicago now. We'll start to work with a few hotels on the West Coast. We've already started to work with a few hotels in New York. And that's really where we want our focus to be, is to just share our teas with the world first. And then we'll focus more on being at a retail and being out there on retail shelves. So right now, the best place to really find us is just directly and to our website. And then I'm sure before long, we'll definitely be out there on a lot more retail shelves, so where people can find us.
Yeah. And everyone, just know that we will have that website linked in our show notes. But just so you know, it's at very simply talbottees.com. And that's TalbottTeas.com. Talbot Teas. Well, we will be watching to see what is next for you two guys and this amazing, amazing business. And just really are so proud of your success and the example that you both are representing for the community and as Chicagoans. I think it's just a fantastic, fantastic thing. And I wish you all the best. And I hope that you'll come back on the show. And maybe we should just have tea one day on the podcast.
That sure. Nice.
We could do a tea. We'll describe it to all of you and you'll be envious. Or I don't know. Maybe we could do it like Oprah did the Eckhart Tolle thing. We could just kind of all have tea at the same time, and so you could listen.
I love
it. Were also having tea. We could do it in advance so people could order their tea and have tea with us. We could do a taste.
I'd love to.
That might be
anytime.
A first. Might be a first. All right, everybody. Shane Talbot's been my guest. He and his partner, Steve in Nacogdoches, are Talbot Teas, and they are representing Chicago's GLBT community so proudly. If you want to purchase some teas for yourself, or a friend or a family member, a partner. It's such a great gift. Birthday, holidays, check it out. TalbottTeas.com. I have to say, my brother and I got my mom some for Christmas, and my And I didn't even know you then, so.
Excellent, excellent.
I had heard your story, and now that I know you, of course, I'm going to buy it for everybody that I know, not just mom.
Oh,
so
great.
It gets to spread the love all the way from the Windy City. Thanks so much, Shane.
Thank you.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Everyone, I hope that you all are having a fantastic week. A shameless plug again to come and support the Season of Concern benefit on Monday, May 23rd at the main stage here in Chicago. Season of Concern is an organization that provides direct care, meaning money for groceries, medicines, doctors, rent, to people living with HIV/AIDS in the Chicago area or people who are in critical care within our community. And so this is going to be a fun evening, a staged reading of All About Eve with the fabulous and award-winning Hollis Resnick portraying Margot Channing here. It's very affordable, $45, two tickets for $40. You can get tickets at seasonofconcern.org. And don't forget to go buy your mom a little gift. At least get her a card, make a phone call, but it's very easy to just go to talbottees.com. You can click through it on our website and buy your mom a spot of tea and just allow her to take a moment and enjoy the comforts and sophistication and specialness that a cup of tea can bring and that she has brought to your life. So have a great week, everyone. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.